Good morning.
Whoa.
Good to see each one. Technology already doesn't like me. It's terrible. I'm supposed to be good at this stuff, and I'm not. My hands aren't even touching it, and it's acting up on me. But good morning. Please open your scripture to Psalm chapter 1. I know that the Scheip family would welcome whenever you spend time with the Lord, whenever you talk to Him in prayer during whatever time of the day you take to do that. I know they'd appreciate it if you would pray for them on their missions trip in Honduras. Please remember to do that. They have a lot going on, and just pray for their safety. That'd be great. This may be a little different than what many of you are used to. I don't normally get the opportunity to speak to big people like you, but I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know what? That's not altogether true, because I do have some big people in the youth group these days. With the Cole and Troy, even Bryson, they're big, so I am used to this a little bit. Thankfully, I haven't had to reprimand anybody. I mean, how am I going to do that? I mean, you know, that doesn't work real well. But it's good to be here with you. And we're going to look today at a psalm that probably most of us have looked at before. This is probably one of the most quoted psalms in Scripture, and it's meant a lot to me over the years, because in it, God talks about the person who is blessed, and you saw that as it was read earlier. This blessed individual, God talks about who this individual is, And the word blessed here just simply means, whenever you look at that Hebrew word, it means supremely happy, overjoyed, joy flowing out of your heart, you could say, deeply content. That's the meaning that it has. And I think you could argue that whenever you say that, whenever you say what the meaning of that word is, as I just did, I think you can argue that this is generally what our society is looking for. Whenever you think about having a heart like this, being supremely happy, in fact, you could translate that Hebrew word happy many times over, overjoyed, joy just flowing out of your heart. And as you talk about that, I think you can argue that this is what people are looking for. But the truth of the matter is, this is out there, it's available, but it comes from God. It's a gift from God, this idea of this blessedness, this happiness in your heart, overflowing. And God lets us know here in this chapter, as He opens the book of Psalms here, in this first chapter, He lets us know that, yes, this is there, this is available, but not everybody has it. Because it's a gift from God. God gives it to individuals. And He's the one who decides how that has to happen. And nobody gets to change that. So in this psalm, God describes this individual to us. And not only does He describe who this individual is and who this individual has become, but He also then takes the other side of it, and He also explains who this individual is not. And so we're going to look at that this morning in Psalm chapter 1. And I hope the question that we can ask ourselves is, as we look at this, is just simply this: is this blessed individual me? Does it describe me? And if it doesn't, perhaps something can be done about that even this morning. So with that being said, it was read earlier here in the service, so I'm not going to reread it, but I would like to just take a moment and pray. We'll ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll look at this together. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do come before you. As I like to do before I teach what you have said, I do want to ask for your help. Father, would you give us your help? Would you speak mightily to us? I ask that you would enable me to use clear words, words that describe very well what you are teaching us here today. Please open our hearts, give us the ability to understand it, and to apply what you have to our lives today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, please look down with me there, starting in verse number 1. And Scripture says, blessed is the man. So he's going to describe it right now. Blessed is this man. Happy is this man. Overjoyed is this man or woman. And he's going to give some description here of now who this individual is and who this individual has become. So, and point number 1 today, who is this individual? Who is this individual? Number 1, the blessed individual is someone who says no to something. And the first thing that God describes here is it's an individual who says no to sin. Okay? So, no. How many of y'all like that word, no? Okay? My dad used to tell me whenever I was a kid, it's my job to teach you what the word no means. I'm not lying. That's exactly what he said. And come to think of it, he still says that to me. I'm 39. Do I look like I'm 39, by the way? Apparently my dad doesn't think I do, because he's still telling me that. Anyway, this individual who is blessed by God has gotten good at saying no to something. He's gotten good at saying no to sin. This individual is not a perfect individual, because we know from 1 John, where the Bible says, I believe in 1 John 1:8, that there is nobody who is without sin, okay? This is not a perfect person that the Lord is describing here. This is a sinner, but this individual has gotten better and continues to get better at saying no to sin in his life. And he does that a couple of different ways. Look at what the Scripture says. He says, blessed is the man who, this is the first thing, who walks not, first of all, in the counsel of the wicked. So the first way that he starts to say no to sin in his life is he says no to receiving counsel from wicked people. Okay? Now, there's all kinds of things that you could say about this, but this individual doesn't care how important somebody is, and he doesn't care how powerful somebody is, if this person is not giving counsel that you would say is godly counsel. This person gets really good at not listening to that kind of a person. I'll just give one example. Young people. And sorry, adults, a lot of my examples might revolve around young people. I'll just give you that up front here, okay? But young person, if another young person comes up to you and says something like, yeah, I know my parents told me to do that, but I'm not going to do it, okay? That's a person that you don't want to pay very close attention to what they say, okay? Who is this blessed individual? Who is this person that just has happiness overflowing? Number one, it's somebody who stays away from that kind of counsel. Stays away from counsel that goes against what God says. What does God say to children in his word? He says, and most of us can quote this. If you're a parent, you can quote this for sure. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Whenever someone starts to give you counsel that goes directly against the word of God, the truth of the word of God, you know that's somebody that you ought not be taking counsel from. That's one thing that this individual does. They don't let themselves get sucked into counsel or into advice, you could say, that goes against what God says. So that's the first thing that he says. This is what this blessed individual is. This is who they have become, okay? Most of you, if you have a phone, raise your hand, okay? Most of you have a phone. How much counsel do you get from your phone? Okay, there's all kinds of counsel that you can get from your phone, isn't there? Lots of podcasts that you can listen to, lots of things on YouTube, lots of things. And what the scripture says is this person has gotten really good at knowing who to listen to and who not to listen to. So keep that in mind. That's who this individual is. They are so careful who they let come in here. So that's the first thing that they do. Blessed is this man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Secondly, nor stands in the way of sinners. Now, please don't understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying this, and neither is God saying this here, okay? This does not mean that that if you're sitting here today and you're a Christian, this does not say that you this does not mean that you do not reach out to people who are sinners, okay? And by the way, what is a sinner? It's somebody who doesn't listen to God. That's who a sinner is, okay? They live their lives. God isn't part of their life. They're not really concerned about what he says. They're not concerned about whether they obey him or not. They're a sinner. God says don't steal. They're not really all that concerned about that. God says don't lie. They're not really all that concerned about that. This is what a sinner is, okay? And we're not saying that you don't reach out to somebody like that. We're not saying that you don't be kind to someone like that, help somebody like that, and all those kinds of things. Jesus himself was known as the friend of sinners. He befriended them, and he helped them, and he tried to lead them to himself. But what he is saying here is this person, this blessed individual, this individual who is experiencing the joy in his heart and this overflowing happiness, who is this individual? He has decided to not take his stand with sinners. Whenever someone is trying to get him or her to come along with them in something that they know God isn't pleased with, they've gotten good at saying no. Okay? They've gotten good at saying no about that. They say no to sin. They're not perfect. And they're never going to be perfect. This individual still struggles with his or her own sin nature. But they've gotten good at saying no to these things. And the third way that they say no to sin, look down with me in verse 1, says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So now what Scripture's saying here is they've taken this one step further. What's a scoffer? A scoffer is just simply somebody who not only doesn't care what God says, but they make fun of people who do care about what God says. That's what a scoffer is. Someone who makes fun. Again, again, I'll give this example. This is an example of like a teenager is at school, and somebody comes up to them and says something to the effect of, "Oh, do you always do what daddy tells you to do?" Scoffing. Okay, that's just an example of that. And this person, the Bible says, does not take their seat with that kind of an individual. They don't allow themselves to get sucked into that. Okay? Proverbs 13, verse number 20 says, whoever talks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 14, 7 says, leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Psalm 119, verse 63 says, I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. So, So as we look, so as God starts to describe this individual, this blessed person, this person who just is experiencing happiness in their heart, happiness many times over, and joy overflowing. God, the first thing God says about them is they say no to something. And it's not that they never sin. It's not that they have ceased to become a sinner, but they have decided to say no to following after sin in their life. That's the first thing about this individual. So let me throw out just this question to you. Is this starting to describe you? Is this starting to describe you already? Or already would you say, man, not only am I a sinner, but maybe I find myself not saying no, but maybe even running to it at times. It's a good question. As God describes this blessed person, who is this blessed person? Number one, God says, number one, it's somebody who says no to sin. Secondly, the blessed individual is an individual who loves God. If you're taking notes, you could write that down. The blessed individual is somebody who has learned to love God. Look at what he says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. It says, but blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly, stands in the ways of Jesus, and sits in the seat of the disciples. Now I've got your attention. Some of you are like, what version are you looking at? My own, okay? I wrote that. And it really wasn't all that good. But you know something? You would think, at least I would, you would think that God would say something like that. You know, kind of tie it up in a neat bow. 3 points. Here's what this blessed person does not do. Here's what they do. Boom, boom, boom. But that's not at all what he does, is it? Instead, he brings it down. He makes it very simple. And he makes it extremely practical. What does he say? Look at verse 2. He just described what this blessed person does not do. And now he says, here's what they do. Says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Now I have asked the Lord to help me make this part of the message extremely clear. So please listen. I wholeheartedly agree with the writer, James Boyce, a commentator who said this. Listen to this quote. He said, it is the difference between those who are in love with sin and those who love God. Who is this individual? This blessed individual that just has joy overflowing in him. Happiness that, like he's never seen. Who is this person? It's the person who has learned to love God. Because whenever you start to bring other scriptures together and connect it with the scripture here, that's exactly what you find. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119, verses 1 and 2, listen to this. It says, blessed, there's our word, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. What you find very, very quickly in scripture is this person who is blessed in their heart, happy, overjoyed. It's someone who not only pays attention to the word of God, but they walk in obedience to the word of God. They not only pay attention to it, they not only read it, they not only want it, but then they turn and they walk in obedience to it. Jesus himself brings this full circle for us whenever he tells us in John chapter 14, verse number 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Just down a few more verses. He says, in verses 23 and 24, Jesus says it again. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." So what does God say here? Who is this blessed man? How does one walk in the law of the Lord? Does one obey God just out of duty? Oh, I have to obey him because it's my duty to obey him. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. Jesus says this. Jesus says somebody is able to walk in obedience to my commandments for one reason and one reason only. It's because they love me. They love me. Who is this blessed person? It's the person who not only has learned to say no to sin, but they have seen God and they have fallen in love with him. They love him. They love him. And it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. Whenever Jesus was asked, remember this? Whenever Jesus was asked, it was asked by, I believe it was a lawyer, what is the greatest commandment? What did Jesus say? He said, without missing a beat, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." In other words, Jesus is saying, everything that God ever said, every command that God ever gave is kept and fulfilled in these two commandments. Love God and love people. If you ever want to, have you ever thought about what's my purpose in life? Why was I created? Why am I here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You don't have to look any further than Scripture. What does the Bible say in at the very end of Ecclesiastes? What does the Scripture say? God wrote down for us. He said, here we have the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. How does someone keep the commandments of God? How does someone fear God and keep his commandments? Jesus said, if you love me, you will do this. This is a person. Blessed is the man who says no to sin. This is the person who not only says no to sin as he can in this life, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Why is his delight in the law of the Lord? Because he loves his Lord. And he loves his Lord so deeply. And he just loves to be with his Lord. He delights in this book that God wrote down. This is where his delight is. He loves to learn from his God that he loves. This is where he gets to know his God that he has learned to love. And of course we know that this individual loves God. Why? What does the Scripture say? That we love because God first what? Loved us. Because God first loved us. This is an individual who has come to realize that. They have come to realize that God loves them. This is who the blessed individual is. Is this starting to come together? This whole idea of why this individual is blessed. Why this individual, why their heart just overflows with joy, why their heart is just overflowing with happiness. This is the individual that they have learned to say no to sin. Why? Because they've realized that God, that they have a creator who loves them. God loves them. They've realized it. It's been made clear to them in some way. That even when they did not deserve to be loved, God loved them anyway. And I know that's a lot of the stories in this room right now. That's who this blessed individual is. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is an individual who has realized that they are a sinner and that they deserve to be separated from God forever because of their sin. What does the scripture say? Sometimes I have to look at my notes. For the wages of sin is death. That's what the scripture says. Separation. Every sinner deserves to be separated from God forever. And that includes all of us, doesn't it? And you don't have to look very far into your life to realize that, right? If you just ask yourself a few questions, that becomes abundantly apparent, does it not? Have you ever disobeyed or dishonored your mom and dad in some way? Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small? God says, don't steal. Broke his commandment. God says, don't lie. Tell the truth. Have you ever told a lie? We all have we not? And God calls that sin. And the wages of sin is death. But, and this is what this individual has figured out. This is what this individual has seen. That the scripture says, but for God so loved the world. Or you could say, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. Unbelievable. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner? But you realize, like this individual has, that God loved you and sent his son Jesus to die for you. You're the one who should have been separated from God. I'm the one who should have been separated from God. Instead, Jesus was separated from his Father. For you and for me. Has there been a time in your life where you've called upon his name and asked for him to forgive you of your sins and to make you his child? And he did. That's what happened to this individual in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He loves the Lord, and the Lord loves him. This is the relationship that they have. And he delights in this book. And on this law he meditates day and night. This is an individual who delights in God's word now. If you're taking notes, that's the next point. This is an individual who delights in God's word. What do you delight in? Do you delight in something? The word delight here just simply means greatly enjoy. What do you greatly enjoy? Do any of you greatly enjoy ice cream? Thank you. What else do you greatly enjoy? Shout out one or two. What else do you greatly enjoy? Breakfast? Oh, grandkids. Oh, sorry. I'm still thinking like a teenager up here. My bad. Grandkids, right? Going to church, okay, some of you can relate to those things, right? Do you greatly enjoy spending time with God right here? This is what this blessed person, this is who they are. They have learned that God loves them. They have learned to love him, and they love and delight to seek him right here. Do you seek him here? Ben Hagen, let me put you on the spot since you're the newest pastor here at our church, okay? Since you've been saved, has there ever been a day or days, even times, where the day has gone by and you have not spent time with God in his word? Okay. So have I. I just wanted to put the attention on you for a minute. Thank you. Okay. So have I. And you know something? I believe with all my heart that I am not concerned, and I don't think God is concerned either, with whether or not you miss spending time with Him sometimes in His Word. What I think is should be the question that should concern all of us is that when you do miss it, do you miss it? In other words, are you like, oh, I missed it? Not because you're duty bound to spend to read His Word. If you're duty bound, that's never going to go anywhere. But you miss it because simply because of this, you love Him. And because you love Him, you love to get with Him. And you delight in it. You absolutely just delight in reading what He has to say and learning about Him, getting to know Him, understanding the kind of person He wants you to be. Oh, God, that's how you want me to be a husband. That's how you want me to be a father. Thank you. I love you. I want to follow in that. That's who this person is. That's who they are. Do you have what I'll refer to as family devotions, where it's you, your children, your wife, and God? I'll tell you what, my experience with this, and my kids will tell you, I have not been perfect with that. As my time as a father, we have endeavored to do that. I haven't been perfect with it. But I'll tell you this, when you do that, you make some of the fondest memories that you will ever have as a family. How about it? Some of you know that. And sometimes it gets a little crazy. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, especially when your kids are really young. My kids are really scared right now. Right before I got up here, my daughter said, "Dad, you have to ask me now because I'm old enough. If you tell any stories about me, you must get my permission." I forgot to do that. I remember this one time. This isn't about you, Casey. I remember one time. Yeah, I'll never forget this. This is during family devotions, and this can happen. I was reading the Bible to my kids. My wife was there, and I was just reading through the story of Jacob, and you know something, God's word is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't take things out of it just because you're reading it to children. You ever notice that? And we got to the point where a lot of you all know this, we got to the point where Jacob, you know, married those two sisters. And I saw Trent, my oldest, I saw his eyes get about that big. And he and his hand goes. And I'm like, I don't even want to answer this. I said, what? He said, do you mean to tell me that Jacob married two ladies? I said, yeah. And his hand goes back up. And, oh, no. And without missing a beat, he goes, Dad, is that what you're going to do? I said, maybe if I lived in Utah. No, I didn't say that. But I didn't even think that, I don't think. But, you know, the older my kids have gotten, you know what I noticed now? And I noticed this the other day. As we read the scripture together, the deeper their questions continue to get, and the more they're adding to what we're reading. Hey, Dad, I know this. This is da-da-da. This is what's going on. Parents, my point is this. Show your children that you delight in, that you love the Lord, and that you delight in His Word. It doesn't have to be long. You don't have to preach a sermon like I'm doing up here right now. In fact, your wife would probably prefer if you didn't do that. But it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. This is this blessed individual. This individual who is not a perfect person, but has learned to say no to sin. Who has learned that God loves him. And he loves God. And in his word, he delights. In his word, he delights. And on his law, he meditates day and night. This is what consumes this person. They're thinking about it. They're talking to themselves. Okay, I'm going to share something really embarrassing with you guys. I talk to myself some. Is anyone else willing to admit that they talk to themselves? Yes, thank you. Okay, I thought I was the only one. And sometimes it can get really embarrassing because I'll get to thinking and then suddenly my thoughts are coming out my mouth and then I'll look over and one of my kids is like staring at me like, they're like, Dad, what are you doing? And I'm like, don't worry about it. But that's the idea here. It's like this individual is thinking over what did God tell me today? And they're thinking about it. And they're murmuring about it. They're talking to themselves over about this. How can I apply this to my life? God, is this really what you mean? Show me. This is the blessed individual. See the happiness? It makes sense, doesn't it? See the happiness, see the joy as they are with their God in this loving relationship. Next is this individual is a fruitful individual. Look at verse number 3. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, most of you, and maybe all of you do, most of you know that my background whenever I was in my early 20s was I did logging for a living. I logged in my dad's family business. I thought that's where I was going to be forever. And then the Lord called me into the ministry. That's a story that can't be told in a minute. But I remember as I read verse 3, I remember this. Whenever I was logging on the logging crew, we went into this one property. And when we went into it, the property went down. Mr. Gates will understand what I'm talking about here. The property went down into a bottom, and there was a creek running down through the bottom there. And I still remember this. The trees that were growing right along the creek were unbelievable. They were unbelievably healthy. They were big. They were tall. They were green. I mean, they were doing well right there, growing right alongside that creek. And I thought of that picture, and they were doing great till I cut them down, but that's a whole other story. Then they became a blessing for somebody else in their home is what happened. Anyway, but they were doing awesome, and I thought of that as I looked at this. God says this, God compares this person to a tree. And he says, this person is like a tree planted by streams of water. This is an individual that, God says, they're like a tree that's planted by a stream that has its roots down in a good place where that tree is getting everything that it needs. This is an individual who has their roots just plugged into their God so far. God loves them. They love God. They delight in being right here. They have their roots just right into Him, and they are receiving everything that they need from God spiritually. Their heart is doing their heart is doing so healthy and well because of this. God says He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Its leaf doesn't wither. They're doing well. But the thing that I really want to look at is that they're a fruitful person. They're a fruitful person. Whenever someone is walking with God like this and just is experiencing the joy of the Lord like this, here's the deal. And by the way, this doesn't mean that this person never experiences hardship. We'll talk about that in a minute. But God turns them into a fruitful individual. This tree bears its fruit, the Bible says. In Galatians, we read about what many of us would read about as the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruits of God, you could say. Fruits that you don't produce in yourself, that I don't produce in myself, but that God produces in us as we walk with Him, as we develop in our loving relationship with Him. Fruits of the Spirit. Let me find them. Fruits like love, joy, peace. Peace. This person has an inner peace. Patience. They're a patient individual. They become a patient individual. Kindness. They're kind. Goodness. They're a good person. Faithful. Loyal. They're a gentle person. Self-control. Self-control. You know something, guys? How many of you are thinking of somebody right now? Some of you are. Some of you are thinking of somebody because this individual doesn't hide very well, do they? And you can see it in them, can you not? They become a fruitful individual because God has made them that way. This is this blessed individual. This individual that has the joy of the Lord overflowing. Is this describing you? Are you this blessed individual? Individual that's just bearing fruit because you're plugged into God like this. Because you just love Him and He loves you and you delight in His word, and so you grow and you produce fruit as His child. This is who this person is. This is who this person is. Now I need to say this. This doesn't mean that this person doesn't experience hard times. This person does experience hard times. And God is very, very clear about that, isn't He? He never promised that we wouldn't experience hard times. He promised we would experience hard times. James 1, count it all joy when, not if, when you face trials of various kinds. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as if something strange were happening to you. Don't think that it's strange or that it shouldn't be happening when this happens. It is going to happen. We read in the book of Timothy that anyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And Jesus never promised wealth. In fact, Jesus said that the poor will always be with you. So this individual is not exempt from hard times. But here's the thing. In all that he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. Doesn't mean that he's rich. Doesn't mean that he never experiences hard times. It means in his life, God makes him to prosper. Let me just tell you what I believe with all my heart Jesus means by that little phrase there. We've been talking about how this individual is plugged into the Word of God. And out of love for God, obeys the Word of God. Walks in obedience. And God says, because of this, he's a blessed individual. And in all things, he prospers. In all he does, he prospers. Let me just give you this as an example of what I believe God is talking about here. How many of you are married in this room? Let me see your hands. Married people. Okay. I believe most of you have read your Bible enough to know, and if this is true, just shake your head at me. You've read your Bible enough to know that God has some very specific things to say about how to be married. Does he not? If that's true and you know it's true, shake your head at me. Okay. Here's what I believe he's saying here. That, let's say I'm married, and I am married. Let's say that as a married individual, I decide that I don't care and I'm not going to pay attention to anything that God says about marriage. I'm going to totally disregard everything he says in his word about it. I'm going to just try and be married my own way. Let me make a promise right now that if I do that, I promise you, I will not have what we would call a marriage of success or a marriage that thrives, you could say. That's another way you can describe that word. It wouldn't be a thriving marriage. And you can put whatever example in there that you want to put in there. Because this individual loves the Lord and loves His Word, and out of love for the Lord walks in obedience to the Word, God says, now he prospers. Because he listens to me. In all that he does, he prospers. We're going to end today. It's been an awesome picture what God paints here. Blessed is this man. Happy is this man. Full of joy is this man. Who has figured out that God loves him and that he loves God now. But now we're going to end with God's warning to the wicked. Folks, there's two sides to this coin with God. And both of them must be accepted. There is the blessed, and there is now the unblessed. Verse 4 says, the wicked are not so. Just stop for just 30 seconds. The wicked are not so. Everything we just talked about, everything that God just described about his child, someone that has learned that he is loved by God, has given his life to God, and now loves him in return, and is walking in delight to the Word. Everything about that individual, the wicked, not so. Not so. Not blessed. Not happy, even if they look like they are. Not fulfilled, even if they look like they are. Not prospering, even if they look like they are. In the end, no. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. It's very interesting. God compared the blessed person to a tree. Now he compares the wicked person, someone who has rejected him, to chaff. This probably means the outer shell of a piece of grain, a husk, if you will. Kind of like husking an ear of corn, with like many of us have done that here. Take it off, it blows away. It's gone. Meaning that the way of the wicked is sure. The finality of the wicked is sure. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Folks, there is Jesus promised that there would be a day when all of the nations will be gathered together. And it says that he will separate the wicked from the righteous. Like you separate sheep from, like a farmer separates sheep from goats, or in this instance, as if someone would separate trees from chaff. This day will come. And Jesus said that he will say to the righteous, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But he will say to the unrighteous, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is coming. And God says, there is both of these things. You cannot have the wonderful promises of God without also taking the stern warnings of God as well. Promises for the blessed, the warning for those who have not been blessed, who have not accepted him. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So let me end this way. I just want to say something because God is saying something here. I want to say something to those of you who, as you've listened to this, have maybe thought to yourself, you know something? I don't know that I'm in the category of the righteous. I don't know that I'm in the category of the blessed. I think I might be in the category of the wicked. And there's no middle ground. There is no in-between category. There's either this one or this one. And I think I might be there. You know, I quoted a while back from the Bible, "For the wages of sin is death." But that verse finishes this way, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me just finish by reading to you as a plea from Isaiah chapter 55, and then we'll close. "He will forgive you and make you his child if you'll but ask him." Isaiah 55, the scripture says this. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Would you pray with me? And we'll close. And I'd like to just ask for a pianist just to come up here for a moment. And would you just play as I pray, and we'll just take a minute here with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now. We thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've told us about this blessed individual and how you have desired for all of your children to be this. Father, if there has been any conviction in anyone's heart, Father, I ask that you give them strength to do something about that, to make things right with you. But Father, there may be somebody here who has never become your child, who has never called upon your name. They've never maybe even understood the fact that you love them so. And so, Father, if that individual is here, I ask that you would work in their heart right now. And we'll just take a moment. Amen.